God bless your hearts. This is Bob Linfelt. I am re-recording the teaching I did yesterday on Sunday called Treasures in Heaven. Unfortunately, I lost my recording device. I have another one, and I still want to be able to share and put on our website the teaching I did on treasures in heaven. So here it goes. Jesus Christ spoke on many subjects, of which all are important, but one subject that he talked quite a bit about was the future and what would be available in the future. And he talked of treasures in heaven, that people, when they get to heaven, and I put that in quotes, they will be rewarded for their good work that they did in the here and now. So your spiritual work has dividends for eternity. And I want to share this with you in light of born-again ones, those who are born again according to the church age. So, but first, I want to look at some of the scriptures in the Gospels just to show you that this was an important subject that Jesus Christ brought up a number of times. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." You know, those who would be persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ have something to look forward to. And in chapter 6, verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I know this is a wonderful figure of speech in light of not having worries and fears, but to focus in on the spiritual things of God. And when we do that, God will have treasures in heaven for us. Let's go to chapter 19 in Matthew. 19, verse 21. "Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." This was something that Jesus Christ was talking to a young man who wanted to do the right thing before Jesus Christ. And he was a very rich man, and Jesus Christ had encouraged him to give up all. And that's what he was saying here. If he would do that and give to the poor, that he would have this treasure in heaven. Unfortunately, the young man in the next verse went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions that seemed to be a little more important to him than storing up treasures in heaven. But Jesus Christ, as we can see, indicated that there's things in the future for believers to look forward to. Luke, let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verse 23. In chapter 6, verse 23, "Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Again, we're jumping into the middle of a story here. But the point I'm making here is that Jesus Christ talked of future rewards in heaven. Chapter 14. Now, of course, the gospel records, for the most part, are addressed to those in the Christ administration. And we've got to keep that in mind. And we'll see in a moment here, as we go to the church epistles, what directly refers to us in light of treasures in heaven. But in chapter 14, verse 14, it says, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed or paid back at the resurrection of the just." And again, this is a different administration, the resurrection of the just, but they have something to look forward to, that they will be receive recompensation or recompensed for what they did now sometime in the future. So God does keep the score for those who do good. And there are great things awaiting those who do good works for the Lord. And when that eternal life kicks in, God has some great rewards. God's nature, of course, is to love us and take care of us and to bless us in the here and now. And he does so in many wonderful ways with his promises that we can claim day in and day out. And yet when the gathering together comes for the born again one, there are going to be great rewards, wages, crowns even, as the word mentions, for those at that time. Well, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, we'll see the record that deals with the gathering together of the saints when Christ comes back to gather us, those who are born again of God's Spirit, who have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, they believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead, and they're saved. They're in the family of God. They are born of incorruptible seed, it says in Peter, not of corruptible seed. So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." This is the believer's great hope, Christ coming back to gather us together. If we fall asleep or die before that event occurs, we will be gathered together first when that trump of God occurs. And those who are alive, and if Christ comes back today, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are alive will be gathered to the Lord. And what a great thing we have to look forward to. What a great motivation we have, you know, to do the works for our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father, to do good works now, knowing we have this hope of Christ's return at any time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians deals with this period of time when Christ comes back. Chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. Okay, chapter 15, verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." At any moment, it's like the twinkling of an eye, this last trump, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and those who are alive will be made immortal. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, verse 54, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made it available. His work, his mighty work, paid the price so that you and I can be sons of God, that we can have the hope of Christ's return burning in our hearts. So we do give thanks unto God for this. And then verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. As a result of these great truths, we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Any and everything we do for God as born-again ones will have something to look forward to. We'll get paid for our work. We'll receive rewards, even crowns. It's pretty exciting to be a Christian when you know these truths. Two great things will happen at the gathering together. A lot will happen, but two great things that I want to emphasize for you is going to happen when Christ comes back and gathers us together. In Colossians chapter 3, this is the first one I want to share with you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. When Christ comes back, we're going to appear with him in glory. And the first great thing that's going to happen to us, we're going to get a new body. A new, brand new body, like his body, his new body that he had after his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, or our lifestyle, is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that time when Christ comes back. This is our lifestyle. This is what we live for. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body? He's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Wow! What a wonderful thing to look forward to. Now, I know some of you are not so happy with your current body, but you're going to love it when you get your new body. It'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ's body, his resurrected body. And he did some fantastic things for 40 days on the earth with his resurrected body. And we're going to have a body like his. So this is the first great thing that will happen after the gathering together. We'll get this new glorious body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Then number two, we're going to receive wages or rewards and crowns at the great judgment seat. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God wants to really take care of us. He really wants to bless us. You know, I would be happy just to get in the door, just to have this new glorious body. I'd be a happy camper. But God wants to also bless us with rewards and crowns for the good works that we do in the here and now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All, everybody, appears before the judgment seat, the Bema, the seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So that which is good, you're going to get blessed for, and the stuff that's bad will be burned up, won't have any value, so it'll be gone. But that which we have done, which is good, we will receive wonderful rewards. And this is what we look forward to. It's pretty exciting. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Take a look at this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Fire is that purifier. That's what they would do. They would get these different ores, and we do it today, of course, where they dig up for metal, looking for copper or silver or whatever. Many times it's part of rocks and dirts mixed in there with it. So they burn it. They put the fire to it to get the pure silver or copper, whatever they're trying to get. Same thing here. Our work will be tried by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive what? A reward. A reward. All the bad stuff gets burned up. All the good stuff will be there for us to receive rewards from. Pretty exciting. Let me share one aspect of what we'll receive, and that's crowns. And the best I see, there are five different crowns identified in God's Word. We'll look at one, and then at some future date, perhaps, we'll take a look at the rest. But in 1 Corinthians, since you're there, let's go to chapter 9 in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 24. 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now those who strive to be the very best have disciplined their lives. They are temperate. They're not overdoing it. They're not underdoing it. But they're doing what is exactly needed to be successful. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So the believer has an opportunity to get this incorruptible crown in light of disciplining his body to be a workman for God. It goes on to say, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, you know, like shadow boxing, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So this incorruptible crown is for those who get it together and stand for God. Get their life together and stand for God. So, there are other ones, but that's for another day. But I want you to picture in your mind how this works. And the best thing I could come up with as far as an analogy to understand and somewhat appreciate getting these rewards in heaven sometime in the future is to share with you about Social Security. Now, when I was 18 years old, I started paying into Social Security. Everything I earned, either 3% or 6% of that money would go into Social Security. I couldn't use it. As years went by, it accumulated, but it was there. I couldn't touch it. It was to be used in the future. So, some 50 years later, I turn a certain age, 68, and there are different years that you can start taking Social Security. But for me, I started taking it after all those many years of having that money being taken out of my resources, my pay. Now I'm starting to get something back for it. Same thing when we work for God. God blesses us. He makes the score. He puts away wonderful rewards or wages that He'll pay us when we are gathered together and we get this new body and we come before the judgment seat and we will receive the wonderful rewards that we have earned during our lifetime. Okay, you know, we live two lives. We really do. As a human being, we're going to live two lives, the one we live now and the one we live in eternity, or for us, everlasting life. So now we believe God's word. We do our best to walk on the word, take in the promises of God. I'm more than a conqueror. I renew my mind. I confess what the word says and get the blessings now. But I also do good works knowing that I will be blessed in the future. Because at some point, boom, or I shouldn't say boom, there's going to be some trumpet going off and Christ will return and I start my second life. I get that new body. And at the Bema, the judgment seat, I'll get wages, rewards, and those crowns that I mentioned earlier. So, what determines how our second life is lived really is what we do in our first life. Our second one, which is everlasting life, in some way is determined by how good we live our first life. God has been doing His best for us. He's given us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to be our best for Him. And why not? When you think of what we have now today that God has given us by His grace and mercy, not by the works that we have done or accomplished, but by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, we receive. And now, why not do something for Him? Why not live our life for Him? You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are a new creation in Christ. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, it says in Colossians 1:27. We should tap into this in a big way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are His workmanship in Christ, created for good works. This Christ in me, the gift of Holy Spirit that I have abiding within me, is designed to do good works. We can walk with God. We can get revelation from God. We speak in tongues. We can pray for people perfectly. We can do healing, signs, wonders, miracles. All these things we can do because of the Spirit we have in us. It's His workmanship that has been created in us to do these good works. God wanted to bless us now with His many promises and bless us for eternity with the rewards that we receive for the good works we do now. Well, I'd like to close in Revelations 22. things come to an end in Revelation. That's what it talks about, those end times. Here in chapter 22, verse 12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Well, Heavenly Father, thank you that you have provided such a wonderful lifestyle for us, that we can be born again of your Spirit, that you've designed us to do wonderful, great works for you. And in doing those, that we have wonderful rewards in heaven, treasures in heaven, Father. We're very thankful that we can see this, know this, and then live our life to you and live with the love of God, that we would do the good things for you, not just to get rewards, but because you've been good to us. So, Father, thank you again for all your wonderful love that you've manifested toward us. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.